Amen. Let's go to Micah. Probably first thing you woke up this morning with, time change. I think I'll read Micah. All right. If you have trouble finding some of these, just listen. Micah's not a book that a lot of people go to many times. Jonah, Micah, Nahum, near the end of the Old Testament. We're going to be spending a little bit of time looking at a couple of things in the Old Testament, but we'll spend a lot of good time understanding. Micah 6 is where we're going to go. In the books that are addressed to us, like Galatians. So this is, do the right thing for God. In Micah 6, we read Micah 6:6. It's near the end of the Old Testament. If you can find Isaiah, we're going there next. It's a bigger book in the Old Testament. But Micah 6:6, we read, wherefore shall I come before the Lord? And that's a great question. A lot of people have that question. Wherefore, when I come to the Lord, what should I do? Wherefore shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings? Should I come before him with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or of 10,000s of rivers of oil? I mean, he just won't take a few. I got to come with him with thousands, a whole bunch, shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He hath showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee? But to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. I mean, that pretty much sums up the whole teaching, the whole thing today. It's, should we come through with all these great and wonderful works before him? No, that's not at all what he asks. Just come justly, love mercy, walk humbly. Look at Isaiah 1. We'll see the same thing laid out here. The prophets of old constantly in the Old Testament had to call Israel back because they kept straying away. They kept wanting to go through the motions, but their hearts were way too far from him. So Isaiah 1, and we'll go to verse 11 while we'll start. Isaiah 1:11. Matt Cheatsy has his phone with him. Easy, especially when some of these obscure books, yeah. Isaiah 1:11. So we read, to what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me? God is saying, why are you bringing all these sacrifices to me? I am full of the burnt offering of rams and the fat of fed beasts. And I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. God's saying, I'm with PETA on this. I'm tired of you guys sacrificing all this stuff to me. That's not what it's about. That's what it was never supposed to be about. Verse 12, when you come to appear before me, who has required this at your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations or empty, your empty offerings. Incense is an abomination unto me. I'm getting tired of your incense. The new moons and the Sabbaths, the calling of the assemblies, I cannot away with. I can't deal with it anymore. You see God screaming. It's iniquity, even the solemn meeting, your new moons, your appointed feasts, my soul hates. They are a trouble unto me. I'm weary to bear them. And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Now, wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. They're going through the motions. They're making themselves look real religious, but where's their heart? Where's the genuineness? And God knows you can't hide from God. You just can't because he's everywhere. Verse 17, here's then the instruction, instead of making sure you got the right animal at the right time and the right holy day for the right saint, for the right. Okay. Verse 17, learn to do well. Do you mean it doesn't come naturally? Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. And that willing and obedient comes from the heart. You will want to do what the Father wants you to do, and then you obey what it is that he wants you to do. And we'll see that. That'll be the theme of what we're going to go through. In fact, 1 Samuel 15, we'll look at this one. This one is a familiar scripture in 1 Samuel 15. It's just before 2 Samuel. Love a new audience. First Samuel. So you got Joshua, Judges, Ruth, then you got the Samuels, Kings, Chronicles. So 1 Samuel 15, and we'll go to verse 22. And like I said, this is a familiar scripture to you Bible buffs. 1 Samuel 15, 22, and Samuel, who's God's prophet, said to Saul, "Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord?" I think this is pretty succinct. "Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft." Sir, do you have this up in your classroom? "Rebellion is like the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is iniquity and idolatry." I'm sure, Lindell, you have, you know, those posted all over the place. 90-12. For all the students that come into your computer lab. Yes. But look where God puts rebellion. It's like the sin of witchcraft. In case you were wondering if witchcraft was good or not. "And stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you've rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected thee from being king." So, with that, we jump all the way to Hebrews. In the New Testament. So you got the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, and then you keep going and you find the big book of Hebrews. Hebrews 5. So, I think God is trying to tell us something with those three segments we read. Obedience is better than going through the motions. And, you know, showing up at the right thing at the right time. Hebrews 5:8, though. Dealing with Jesus Christ here. Hebrews 5:8 says, "Though he were a son," dealing with Jesus Christ, "though he was the Son of God, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, by the things which he endured, by what he went through, he learned obedience." It didn't come natural, as some of you who are school teachers know. They have to be taught. Jesus had to learn obedience as he went through life. Now, let's go back to Isaiah 14, one of the big books in the Old Testament. Isaiah was a prophet for four of the kings. The king's class, April 15th and 16th, coming up. Are you guys going to be able to come down for that? I've talked to James yesterday, and we might just do another one up in Denver in May. Sure. So he's going to, Monday, he's going to probably be talking to you. He wanted to get back to the party yesterday, but Joe leaving and all. So Isaiah 14. All right, so we've found out that God likes obedience. God looks after the heart. God doesn't want you to go through the motions. He wants you. He cares about you as an individual. And even Jesus Christ had to learn obedience. It didn't come natural. Like you said, some of you school teachers realize that. They're not getting at home. Where do they learn obedience? From the mean old teachers, right? At school. All right. Excuse me, the mean young teachers at school. Old as in, you know, ole teachers. Okay. Anyway, look at this situation. Isaiah 14, verse 12. Isaiah 14, 12 tells us, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning?" So we're dealing with God's right-hand angel, Lucifer, which really means light giver. It's not his real name. His real name is John Smith. That's his real name. But nobody believes it when he says he's John Smith. So, anyway. "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations?" Look at this. "For thou hast said in thine heart," he's number two in the entire universe. He's God's right-hand angel. And he says, instead of being in enjoying his position, he says, "I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation on the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." I think he has an eye problem here to start with. But look, instead of being humble, instead of obedient and doing whatever, Lucifer decided he was just as good as God and decided to take over. And he lost, if you keep reading. All right, let's go to Genesis 3. Let's see the first man. Way back at the beginning, that's an easy book to find. Genesis 3. This is a topical study. We're looking at obedience here. And we saw Lucifer wasn't obedient. Genesis 3 and verse 5. The serpent came to the woman and said, God's lying to you. God's holding back on you. Here's what's really going to happen if you eat of the fruit. 3:5. For God knows. See, God's holding back on you. For God knows that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes are going to be opened and you're going to be as God. It's in singular in the Hebrew text. You're going to be God. You're going to know good and evil. Well, if you read everything leading up to that, all they had ever experienced was good. Everything was good, good, good. Now, all of a sudden, would you like some evil? you want to be a God and know about evil? I mean, when you just think about it, it's totally illogical to us. But God's holding back, and I don't know what this evil thing's like. I mean, Las Vegas hasn't been invented yet. So here it is. You want to be God, eat of the fruit. And there it is for Adam. This is Eve. And then verse 6, the woman saw that the tree was good for food, saw that it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat, gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat, and then they were thrown out of the pool. So basically, what was the offer? You don't have to be obedient. You don't have to not know. You can be God too. So Lucifer, his right-hand angel, who became the devil, Satan, you can use a few other adjectives if you like, and then the first man, the first people, Adam and Eve, disobeyed, and what was the lure? You shall be a god. Now, go to Philippians. Philippians 2. Dave, you want to help them find Philippians? We're going to be in Philippians for a little while, so it's in the New Testament. The church epistles are the books written to us. So Philippians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and we'll be spending some time back in Galatians in a moment. But let's look at the Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 2, verse 5. All right. Philippians 2, 5, we saw that these people, or the spirit being, this, you know, Lucifer as a spirit being, was given great opportunity. He chose to disobey, and he wanted more. The first people were in the Garden of Eden, Garden of Paradise, and everything was wonderful, and they chose to disobey. But the lure, be God, you're God, you choose right from wrong, you're in charge. Now here in Philippians 2, verse 5, it opens with, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The word mind, there's phronema, it's the word for thoughts. Think the thoughts that Christ Jesus thought. That's what it's exhorting us to do. Put those same thoughts into our minds that he put into his mind. Well, where are we going to find those? Right? On television, usually, right? No, probably in the book. We've got to open the book. All right. That's where we can learn the thoughts of Christ and put them on. Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. He had an opportunity. Let me read you the Greek translation that Walter Cummins did of verses 6 and 7. It makes it clearer. Being in the form of God, he did not consider being equal with God or being equal with God plunder for personal gain, because he wasn't there for personal gain. In verse 7, instead, I'm getting old, I can't read my writing. Okay. Instead, he emptied himself of reputation, taking the form of a servant, being made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as mankind, he humbled himself, becoming is what it's supposed to be. He humbled himself, becoming obedient as a son and as a servant unto death, even the death of the cross. So he had it offered to him too. And instead, he said, no, I'll be a servant. I'll be a son. I'll be what you need me to be so I can redeem mankind from Adam's sin and then buy back the world for God and his people. So, Lucifer failed when we offered it. Adam and Eve failed. And now Jesus Christ came through. So, Mark 12. No, wait a minute. Excuse me. Let's keep reading. Verse 8. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So, actually, that's what happened. 7 and 8 I put together. So, he had the opportunity, and instead he became obedient. And what was his obedience to God? What did it entail? Death. A cruel death. Praise God, we don't have to do that now. He did it on our behalf. We reap the benefits. He got the hole in one. We get to enjoy everything he did. He won because of all of that. Wherefore then, because of him becoming obedient as a servant, as a son, obedient to the death of the cross and everything that, in Galatians, it'll explain that here in a moment. Wherefore, because of everything that Jesus Christ did, because he didn't want to be God, he didn't want to be as God, like Lucifer, like Adam. Wherefore, God also then highly exalted him and gave him a name which is above every name. Because of what he did, he was given the name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, this is an eternal salvation, because that's by grace, and that's all over the church epistles. Read Ephesians 2:9. Work out your own salvation, and this is from being in certain, finding ourselves in certain situations where we need deliverance. The word salvation is the word for deliverance. Fear and trembling is respect and obedience. It's an Orientalism of the day and time. That it was something it was a colloquialism that they would use, fear and trembling, and it meant reverence and obedience. So there's situations that you find yourselves in because of what Christ accomplished. We can be obedient and not give in to them. We can work through them. Why? Because of verse 13. For it is God which works in you, both the will and to do of his good pleasure. We allow God to work within us, the will and do of his good pleasure. So because of that, we can do all things without murmuring and disputing. Oh, I got to get up again an hour. Dispute. Okay. So why? Verse 15. That we may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke. And I hate to say this, but we're in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. That's the whole world, not just this nation. It's everywhere. All right. But we can shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered unto the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. So basically what he's laying out is that he had the opportunity, and because he obeyed God, God exalted him. God gave him a name above all names. God made it available for everybody else. God can now work within us. And that's great as we find ourselves in situations we need help. And we can do it without murmuring, which is really sometimes the hardest thing to do, is not just at least complain about it a little bit. Dumb, bad drivers. Meanwhile, we go to Mark 12 because it lays it out for us very succinctly in this day and time. In the Gospel of Mark and 12, Mark 12:29, scribe, somebody who spent time studying the word, came to Jesus and said, "What's the first commandment? Let me see if you did your homework." Mark 12:29. And Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt then love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all your sacrifices," and making sure you... No, it doesn't say that. Nope. "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength." That's the first commandment. And the second is namely this, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these." End of argument. Love God, love your neighbor, do the best you can. You can't always, it says, you know, live peaceably with those who, if you can, live peaceably with. Sometimes it's not available, but you do the best you can. And then and there's many places it talks about love throughout the Bible, obviously. So love God, love thy neighbor, and then everything else will fall into place. You don't have to have the vain oblations and all the sacrifices and go through all the motions. We can keep it simple. Everything's wrapped up into that. If you walk in love, go to Galatians 2. Before Philippians, you had Ephesians and then Galatians. So we're back over in that area. So Galatians 2, we'll lay it out because they, the people in Galatia, got born again of God's Spirit. They were operating and walking by that Spirit. And then the legalists came in and said, you have to do this. You have to keep the law of Moses. And people are always trying to put other people under the law. And here in Galatians 2, we're going to read quite a bit of Galatians. So we're going to start Galatians 2:16. And Galatians 2:16 is very simple. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. And we saw in the Old Testament, it's not the works God cares about, but by the faith of the believing of Jesus Christ, by the accomplished work of Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. You can't go to heaven because of your works. Once you're born again of God's Spirit, you are ordained to go. Look at Ephesians. Hold Galatians. Ephesians is the next book. Go over about three or four pages. Ephesians 2. We'll come right back to Galatians 3 here, but Ephesians 2, verse 8. All right, it says Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So is it works?
No.
That's pretty clear. Not of works, lest any man should boast. I was a bigger sinner than you. I was more boring than you, you know. We can boast about our lives. That's what he's saying. It's not works. And then verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Once we're born again of God's Spirit, once we've received the gift of Holy Spirit, this gift of God, once we are now a child of God, then the works start. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works that God has before ordained we should walk in them. Because of being born again, we walk for him. We don't. What can we do? Christ did it all. He's a complete Savior, praise God. I don't want to have to follow in his footsteps. And the old man, the new, what he accomplished, much better. That's what we're to identify with. All right, back to Galatians. We go to chapter 3. So, by grace. And you know what that means? By grace. Praise God. You know? All right, 3:1. Now, Galatia is modern-day Turkey, so this could read, oh, foolish turkeys. You foolish turkeys. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received you the Spirit by the works of the law, by the hearing of faith? Well, we know it was the hearing of faith because of Christ's accomplishments. It wasn't works of the law. Are you then so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, you now are made perfect by walking in the flesh? By doing all those, you know, other things? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He, therefore, that ministers to you in the Spirit and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law, by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye, therefore, that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations, not just Israel, now all nations can be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is every one that continues not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it's evident. So, what's the conclusion? The just today shall live by faith. The law was out there, and everybody tried. We're supposed to keep the law, and it says everybody failed except Christ. So, how can you keep it? You can't. Not available. But we have something greater The just shall live by faith. Or it's the Greek word pistis, which means believing. Believing what? That the sky is red or the sky is fall? No, what's in the book? The accomplishments of Christ. And the law is not of faith, but the man doeth them shall live in them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. The Greek word for cross is actually eulon, which is the word for tree. It's basically, they didn't have, you know, they didn't make telephone poles really nice and crucify people real fancy that way. It was a tree. They knocked the branches down, stuck the thing in, knocked the parts for the hole, popped you in the ground, bam. Why? Cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men. So, it's by faith. Law, curse, faith, redeemed, and joy. Look at the end of this chapter, 3:28. So, because of Christ's accomplishments, 3:28, there's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. We're all children of God. Doesn't matter our background. Doesn't matter our social standing. Doesn't matter our heritage. And if you be Christ, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Look at 4:8. Howbeit then, when you knew not God, you did service unto them which were by nature that aren't gods. But now, after that you have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn you again to the weak and beggarly elements? Whereunto you desire again to be in bondage, you observe days and months and times and years. I'm afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Brethren, oh brethren, brethren, brethren. Look at chapter 5. You ought to read Galatians, it's a really good book. We're reading a lot of it, but to get the whole context. But 5:1. All right, we read, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. We are free from the bondage of the law. Well, it tells us that. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Don't go back. If you know, if it's by grace, then why do you want to go back and start working on doing all this old stuff that doesn't need to be done anymore? Stand fast in your liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. Again, that's an act of the flesh. It's work. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, then go ahead, try and keep your debtor to the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you're fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision avails anything nor uncircumcision, but instead faith or believing, which works, is the word for energized. Believing is energized by love. So if you want to walk in love, it's energized by believing and believing the word of God. So he tells these people, you were running well, things were going good, but who hindered you that you shouldn't obey the truth? This persuasion comes not of him that called you. By the way, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Aaron was referring to last week. Just a little bit of doctrine of the law, a little bit of legalism gets in there and starts spreading. And like it affects bread, it affects your walk with God in Christ. We don't need any law. Just a little bit of the leaven will affect you. So we want to stay above that. And we go to Colossians 2. We're almost done. You got this next book after Philippians. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. And 2, it's 1, 2. Verse 16. Colossians 2, 16. So, because of our freedom and our walk, there are people that don't like us to be free. It tells us here in Colossians 2, 16. Let no man therefore judge you in meat. You know what you put in your pizza. Let no man judge you in meat, or in drink, or in respect of a holy day, or the new moon, or the Sabbath day. Don't let other people judge you. You know, too many people want to. Well, you know. I can't believe you got really bright green shoes on, man. Dude, look at those laces. I'm judging you. You know what the answer to that? Yeah, really. That's the answer. Really. That's the whole point. Don't let other people judge you because they want, you know, to control your life. That's not it at all. 2:16. Don't let no man judge you in meat, drink, respect the holy day, new moon, Sabbath days. They're just a shadow. Those are all things that were shadows of the things to come, but the bodies of Christ. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels. Don't worship angels. They're servants of God. Intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head, which is Christ, Christ is the head of the outfit, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increasing with the increase of God. Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to the ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men. Men's doctrine, telling you what you should or shouldn't do. Touch not, taste not, can't eat this today. Which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship and humility, neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. It's all outward appearances that God didn't like in the Old Testament, doesn't like today. So, 3:1. If you then be risen with Christ, here's what we are to do. Seek. And that word seek is like looking for your car keys. We were supposed to be somewhere 5 minutes ago. Seek. Put in some effort. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and our old man is dead, and your new man and your identification is with Christ, and your new life is hid with Christ in God. So, in conclusion, obey God. To find out what God wants us to do, it's in here. Don't go through the motions. God likes the heart. And we walk in love, and we enjoy the things that God has there for us. And we don't have to be under the taste not, touch not. And, oh, by the way, you can't do that. It's your birthday. I don't care. You still can't. You know, no. God, enjoy life. That's what Christ died to give us an enjoyment to life. We don't have to sacrifice ourselves again. He did it for us. Now, it doesn't mean there isn't work. Doesn't mean that seek doesn't imply a little bit of effort. But the effort is to learn more about him and to live and be the best we can. And who's going to be perfect outside of Lindell or anybody else? So Heavenly Father, thank you for your care, your love, and for how much you do. We're just grateful you gave us your word and that we can see your real heart and not going through the motions, but you're a God that cares about every detail of our life and we can walk and obey you. We're grateful for these things and through what your son accomplished in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.